So today we are continuing reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, entitled The Cosmic Manifestation, Chapter Number 9, entitled Answers by Citing the Lord's Version, Text Number 11. Shyamavadata Shatapatra Lochana. Shanga Vastra Surucha Supesha Saha Sarve Chaturba Hava Unmishanmani Praveka Nishka Bharana Suvarcha Saha. Word for word meanings. Shyama, sky bluish. Avadata, glowing. Shatapatra, lotus flower. Lochana, eyes. Pishanga, yellowish. Vastra, clothing. Suruchaha, greatly attractive. Supeshasaha, growing youthful. Sarve, all of them. Chatuhu, four. Bahavaha, hands. Unmishan, rising luster. Mani, pearls. Praveka, superior quality. Nishka Abharana, ornamental medallions. Suvarchasaha, effulgent. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. The inhabitants of the Vaikuntha planets are described as having a glowing sky bluish complexion. Their eyes resemble lotus flowers. Their dress is of yellowish color and their bodily features very attractive. They are just the age of growing youths. They all have four hands. They are all nicely decorated with pearl necklaces, with ornamental medallions, and they all appear to be effulgent. Purport. The inhabitants in Vaikuntha Lok are all personalities with spiritual bodily features not to be found in the material world. We can find the descriptions in the revealed scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam, impersonal descriptions of transcendence in the scriptures indicate that the bodily features in Vaikuntha Lok are never to be seen in any part of the universe. As there are different bodily features in different places of a particular planet, or as there are different bodily features between bodies in different planets, similarly the bodily features of the inhabitants in Vaikuntha Lok are completely different from those in the material universe. For example, the four hands are distinct from the two hands in this world. Om Agyan Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here we see in Srimad Bhagavatam the description of cosmic manifestation. So all different details described here are very inconceivable. If you see, if you just think, and if you try to describe these things to someone, so from a mundane point of view, these things sound very inconceivable. And we know in Kali Yuga people are especially very dull. So this type of information is actually very strange for them. So what's the characteristic of people in Kali Yuga? People are, you know, unfortunate. They have short lives, short memories, and they are misguided by others. So all these disqualifications are there. And then when we describe about creation from Srimad Bhagavatam's point of view, it's very inconceivable for them. So they have their own theories, and in last few classes different devotees were speaking about the current theories, Keshava Prabhu, Bhakta Prabhu, all of them, they were speaking that how even the theories they come up with are very inconceivable. But they are guessing that, okay, maybe this is how creation occurs. So it's a matter of faith, where we put our faith, whether we put our faith in the so-called modern theories, or do we put our faith in these facts given in Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have to develop our faith by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and reading Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. Because it is there are three levels of faith. The Kanishtha Adhikari is on a very weak level of faith. It's called Komal Shraddha. He has got very weak faith. He is dressed up as a devotee externally, Kanti Mala, Tilak, and Vaishnava attire. And, you know, we call that's a devotee, and it is correct. He is on the path of advancement. So, Kanishtha Adhikari is a devotee. But internally, his faith is very weak. So what happens if someone with a stronger argument comes to such a person? So his faith is shaken. You know, when Prabhupada said that, you know, they didn't go to moon. So some devotees who had weak faith, they were shaken, and some left. So that's why it is very important to rise to the next level of Madhyam Adhikari. By developing this knowledge and discrimination. So a Madhyam Adhikari discriminates a devotee and a non-devotee. And within non-devotee category, he distinguishes on the basis of if someone is a faithless person or if someone is an innocent person. So he tries to neglect or ignore the faithless person or an atheist, out and out atheist who declares that there is no God and, you know, it's all bogus. But Madhyam Adhikari tries to preach to innocent non-devotees. And then he associates closely with devotees. And in that association, he develops his Krishna consciousness. Satam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti hritkarna rasayanakata tad joshanad ashu apavarga vartmani shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. So in association of devotees, Madhyamadikari hears and discusses Krishna Katha. And by doing that, Shraddha, Ratir, Bhaktir, Anukramishyati. So his faith, his attachment, and his devotional service, devotional attitude will increase. And his faith will become very strong. So, and then, even though he may not be able to argue very nicely, but his faith will be firm. He won't be moved. And then, someone who is Uttam Adhikari, he is so expert in his knowledge of Shastra, and his faith is so much that he can defeat anyone's argument. So that is Uttam Adhikari. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would shake people. No one could come in front of him and argue with him based on, you know, Shastra. He was so knowledgeable and his faith was so firm. People would shiver in front of him. Impersonalists, Mayavadis, and non-devotees. So a procedure is given. We can elevate ourselves to the highest platform of faith. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described that Shraddha Shabde Vishwas Kahe Sudrida Nishchay Krishna Bhakti Kaile Sarva Karma Krit Hai. So a devotee should have firm faith that all I need is devotional service, and my all other duties will automatically be fulfilled. So what happens when we start devotional service? Initially, we do devotional service mechanically because we don't have taste. We have taste for material activities, right? To watch, sports or movies. We have taste for such things because of our past conditioning. So that's fine. But based on some knowledge and ultimately mercy of a devotee, somehow we get this faith that, no, this devotional service is good and I should perform hearing and chanting and other processes. So one starts such process in a mechanical way. So when we chant, we may not have taste for holy name, but we still do it. So that's called Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. If we do something by force, as a matter of duty, we may not have taste for it. But Rupa Goswami says, if you just do that, you will one day get taste for such activities. And then when we get that taste, then what happens? The material activities become mechanical. So our day-to-day activities, bathing, and, washing clothes and our job or whatever, all these material aspects, they become mechanical. They are automatically happening every day. But our mind is absorbed in Krishna. So that's a reversal. Initially we do spiritual activities mechanically, and later we'll be doing material activities mechanically. So we should have that faith. Shraddha Shabde Vishwas Kahe Sudrida Nishchay. So we should have this firm faith. So in this verse is quoted by Srila Prabhupada in 2.41, 41st verse of 2nd chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is a very important verse. There it says, Vyavasayatmika Buddhir Ekeha Kuru Nandana Bahu Shakha Yanantasya Buddhayo Vyavasayinam. So that verse is actually so important for all of us, because that verse changed life of Srila Prabhupada as well. So he read commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on that verse, and something just struck him. So in that commentary he read that one should have, I'm just paraphrasing, I can't remember the exact words. So there it is said that one should take Guru's orders as his life and soul. So that just struck Prabhupada, and he took his Guru's orders, that Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's orders, that you go to the Western countries and you preach this knowledge of Bhagavad Dharma. So from that verse he took that, and he used to quote that, that's how I took those instructions to my heart. And then we see Nirvishesha Shunyavad, Paschatya Deshatarine. He came to the West and he delivered so many souls. So we should have faith in words of Guru and words of Krishna, and then we can understand and we can make progress. We will be able to digest this inconceivable knowledge that Brahma was born on the top of lotus flower and he climbed down, couldn't find anything, then he climbed up again and he meditated, he heard the sound, tapa, he did his penance, and he had a vision of Golok and he saw Krishna, and then he created this universe. So we will have faith. This all information is very inconceivable. But if we just carry out our devotional activities, then one day we will understand and we will we will be able to understand details as well. For now, we can just take it, you know, that it is true. I may not understand it, but it is true. So like that. That's a very good attitude to have. And in association of devotees, we can take it further. So here in today's verse, we see that there is a description of residents of Vaikuntha Lok. So that's also very inconceivable. So first of all, it's very hard to explain someone that there is life on other planets as well. And then what to speak of convincing someone that apart out of this material realm, there is a spiritual realm, which is even greater. And there is also life there. Actually, that's the source of life, because matter means which is dead, it's not conscious. So jad and chetan. Chetan means conscious. So all consciousness comes from the spiritual world. So it's very hard to convince someone that there are living entities in the spiritual world and they look like this. So there is some description given in today's verse. So what do these Vaikuntha residents look like? So they have a glowing sky bluish complexion. So it's interesting that here the word Shyama is described as sky bluish. Generally we understand Shyama is dark, you know, black. So that proves that these residents have attained liberation. They are either Nitya Siddha or Sadhana Siddha or Kripa Siddha, but they have attained this perfection. So there are five types of liberation: Salokya, Sarupya, Samipya, Sarshti, and Ekatvam or Sayujya Mukti. So one is considered as the impersonalist liberation, and four is they are considered to be personal liberation. So generally, a devotee is not interested in any one of them, neither personal nor impersonal, and definitely not impersonal one, because a devotee or a personalist wants to render service to the Supreme Lord. But if you get Sayujya Mukti or Ekatvam, you lose your individuality, you merge with the whole. So there is no... you cannot distinguish between different living entities. Although the individuality remains there, but still, there is no opportunity to perform devotional service. So that's like almost like death for personalists. They would never accept that. But if it's a desire of Krishna or devotees, they may sometimes accept one of these other four liberations. So Salokya, Sarupya, Sarshti and Samipya. So here we see these are liberated residents of Vaikuntha Lok. They are living in close proximity to Lord Narayan, And they have similar bodily features, sarupya mukti. So Lord Narayan has, you know, glowing sky bluish complexion, and they also have, they have four arms, and they wear similar dress, their ornaments are similar. Sometimes it's hard to distinguish who is Lord Narayan and who are the other residents. But there is a special mark, Sri Vatsa, on Lord Narayan's chest. And he holds special symbols, Chakra, Padma, Gada, and Shankha. So these are some differences. But actually they look very similar. If someone has to associate with Lord, one has to come to that platform actually. Then he can associate. If you see, if you go in the city, you would see, sometimes I observe that there are groups of people, friends or associates, and you would see they dress similarly, in a similar way. You have seen some of them, they dress, you know, black like zombies, and you know, hair standing on end, not out of spiritual ecstasy, but they use gel. And they all dress together in a same way. The eyes are, you know, black. Somewhere put some black thing there. They dress in a very similar way. And there will be some, you know, people sitting on the road, homeless people. They will be similar as well. They use similar perfumes as well, these friends. And these other homeless people, they will also smell similar way. So that's what it proves here. Similarly, if you want to associate with Krishna, he is on the level of Shuddha Sattva. So one has to come to Shuddha Sattva level in order to associate with Krishna. So that's why this process of bhakti is so nice, that we are encouraged to develop this mode of goodness. So all the activities are there to elevate us from these lower modes of passion and ignorance. So we wake up in the morning, we take bath, we dress up nicely, clean clothes. So that's all mode of goodness. So if we develop mode of goodness, it's very easy after that to go to mode of pure goodness, like that. So here Prabhupada writes regarding these different bodily features. So what he writes, that within this planet we can see people have different bodily features. If you go to, you know, if we are in Australia, people have one particular type of bodily features. You go to Africa, they have different bodily features. You go to China, they have different bodily features. So within this, on this planet, we see there are so many differences. People look different. Even in this room, you can observe. We look different. And then, on second level, Prabhupada says that on different planets, then they have even further differences. So if you go to other planets, these higher planets, if you go to Swargalok, there is totally different bodily features. And there are so many different higher living entities. There are demigods, there are semi-demigods, all Vidyadhars, Charanas, the Apsaras, and Kinnaras, and Kimpurushas. There are so many living entities within this universe on different planets. They have totally different bodily features. So why is it difficult to understand that if we go to spiritual world, they just have more different bodily features? It's not that tough to logically understand. We may not be able to realize now because we are covered by three modes, but logically we can understand. On this planet we see different bodily features. On other planets there are more different bodily features. And similarly, in the spiritual world, there's differences. But broadly, we can say that there's difference between bodies in material world and bodies in the spiritual world. Now, within this material world, we are on a middle planetary system. Earth is considered to be middle planetary system. And it's described in the Shastra that on higher planetary system, the bodies are extremely beautiful. as compared to earthly standards. So that's why people become very attracted. So in Kali Yuga, no one knows how to go to heavenly planets. They are trying different mechanical ways, you know, constructing spacecrafts and trying to go to higher planets. Because they have seen everything what's present here. They have done everything possible to get happiness by engaging in different activities on this planet. So they are not fully satisfied at heart. So they're trying to go up, you know, somewhere so that to find higher happiness. But in previous ages, people had information that in Vedic literature it's given on higher planets, there's so much opulence. So they used to get attracted by it. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that, you know, there's some people, they get attracted by this flowery language of the Vedas. So the part of Vedas where it describes about Swarga or the higher planetary system, it's considered to be flowery language because it's given there to attract people to at least read the Vedic literature. So then if they follow some parts of it, they will advance a little bit. And then they will follow other parts as well. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yam imam pushpitam vachan, pravadyanta vapishchita, vedvadrata partha, nanyadastiti vadina. So that's in second chapter. And then he says, kamatmana swargapara, janma karma phala pradam, kriya vishesh bahulam, bhogeshwarya gatim prati. So he says people get attracted by this flowery knowledge and they want to go to higher planets. They get these desires. Kamatvana swargapara, janma karma phala pradam. They try to improve their birth, their opulence and their power. But ultimately they have to come down. Kshine punya marte lokam vishanti. When their credit is finished, you come down. So they're... In the purport of that, these verses, Prabhupada writes that in the Karma Kanda section, all this information is given. That you can go to the the heavenly planets and there you will have so much physical and sensual strength. Now, here we have so many desires, but we don't have that much strength to engage in sense gratification. But in Swarga, there is a special beverage which is called Soma Ras. So you drink that juice and you become sensually so strong, very strong. So you can engage in sense gratification for so many years, thousands of years. And you almost remain young there, you know, for thousands of years. And on this planet and in Kali Yuga, we have just, you know, at most we live 100 years. Be lucky if you live that much, but it is said, Prabhupada writes in one of his purports in fourth canto, he writes, if you want to sensually enjoy the ages from 16 to 30, you know, if you want to sensually enjoy, so that's the age. So that's why you see all the youngsters, they, you know, they are engaging in sense gratification. And after 30, and as you go further, 40, 50, sense gratification brings more misery, actually. Yesterday we were reading in our Bhakti Vaibhav class, there Prabhupada writes in fourth canto purport that more one enjoys in youth, the more he suffers in the old age. Because it's a duality. So more you are taking one side of the coin, you will get more of the other automatically because, you know, you enjoyed materially and you have to suffer. There are two sides. You have to accept both. You can't accept just one. So essentially we can enjoy in that age, but then we have to suffer later a lot. But on the on heavenly planets, you can enjoy so much. So there, Prabhupada writes that It is understood that there are gardens called Nandan Kanan, in which there is good opportunity for association with angelic beautiful women and having a profuse supply of somaras wine. Such bodily happiness is certainly sensual. Therefore, there are those who are purely attached to such material temporary happiness as lords of the material world. So there you have chance. There, the bodies of heavenly people is totally different. It is described that, I think, for a heavenly apsara, you can smell the fragrance of the body from, I think, 50 miles or something. So just imagine what sort of bodies they have. And maybe men, at least their bodily smell would go a couple of miles maybe. So different bodies, you know. And here we have, you know, these bodies we have here is like smelling so much, foul smell. Yesterday I was in Priceline Pharmacy. I saw so many, went to get a cold cream. I saw so many types of deodorants and, you know, perfumes just to cover up, just to hide that smell of the body. Body is rotting, actually. You know, if you see something which is rotting, it smells. It's the same, our body is actually rotting. It's, you know, dead cells come out every day and it's rotting. I have one service where I have to just monitor the bins, if they are emptying the bins. So every day I have to lift the lid and see, you know, how much is it now and did they take it or not. So every day there's so many bin bags and the smell comes. So this body that we have actually is like a bin bag. Right? So what are the contents of a bin bag? So there's different types of rubbish in a bin bag, right? So same way, this body is like, it's a covering, and what's in there is just rubbish, right? Stool, urine, and your blood, all these are considered very moochy items. So, you know, bones, what else is there, you know? All these things are there within the body, muscle, fat, all disgusting things are there within the body. If there's a small cut, it just oozes out all those dirty things. So the bin bag, which is dressed nicely and you have put some perfume on it, that, you know, looks very attractive. And you are ready to do everything just to get in touch with that bag. So that's crazy actually. So that's how strong is Maya. It covers us up so much that you are ready to do anything for a bin bag. Right? So you see, if you see the big bins that we have, the massive, the bin bag is also very massive. It looks like almost a human size, you know. So just imagine, would you do anything, and, you know, millions of lifetimes we are here, we are spending in this material world just for these different bin bags, different shades, different colors, that's all. So that's the power of Maya. But if we have faith in the words of Shastra, then we can advance and we can get rid of Maya. Devi esha gunmai mam maya duratyaya mame vye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. So if we just surrender to Krishna by following his instructions, then we can come to the next level. So Krishna sends his empowered messengers to give us this information. So Srila Prabhupada is an associate of Krishna and he came to help us. So all the while he was in India, before going to the West, he was trying. He formed a league of devotees and he failed many times. He started back to Godhead magazine. But he was trying always. Whatever time he would get from his business, family, affairs, he would try to preach. So we have the first part of Lilamrit. It says a lifetime in preparation. It's not that, one devotee was telling me, he wouldn't mind if I say. So he was saying that before, now he's very serious devotee. He's I think running Bhakti Vriksha and cultivating many other devotees. So, but initially when he came to ISKCON, he thought, Prabhupada, yeah, he's another type of guru. He just got lucky. He just, got lucky. And, it's like a lottery ticket, you go, you buy a tax lotto or something, and if you are lucky, you get so much money. So he said, yeah, so many gurus are trying to spread their movement, but Prabhupada just got lucky, he just hit his luck with these hippies, and it just spread like wildfire in 10 years. But there we see in Nilamrit that, and other books where Prabhupada's life is described, that it's not just luck, it's lifetime in preparation, and he's specially sent for this purpose. So he was trying to approach so many wealthy people and common people and important personalities. He met Indira Gandhi. He wrote so many letters to Mahatma Gandhi. So he was trying to spread the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. So recently, here I'll discuss something from the letter that Prabhupada, I think this is the last letter which he wrote to Mahatma Gandhi in 1947 when India was, India got independence from the British rule. And soon it was pretty clear that it would be divided into India and Pakistan. So there, Prabhupada, very respectfully, he writes to Mahatma Gandhi that, you remember, I am your old friend. Because he wrote so many letters, and I think most of them didn't even reach Mahatma Gandhi because his secretaries would, not forward those letters. So he writes in this letter that, I have attempted to give you this suggestion that, you should, because you have bigger position and you have attained so much name and fame, so you should try to spread this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita now. Now you should leave this politics. So there Prabhupada writes, actually, this rotten politics. You should leave it. You are so old now. If you don't leave it now, you will have an inglorious death. He warned Mahatma Gandhi that you leave it now, otherwise very soon you will have an inglorious death. And that's what happened. This letter maybe he did not read, and very soon he was shot dead, inglorious death. So there Prabhupada writes that because you are on the relative platform, if you don't promote this absolute truth about Krishna, then all your fame, glory, it's relative. So one who has been glorious, he will be defamed as well. So that's the duality again. You don't get only one side. You have to get both the sides. So he said, you are trying to spread this ahimsa, which is good. He appreciates him. You're saying ahimsa, non-violence. So that is good. But if you don't come to the absolute platform, you would have to face himsa as well. But that's the other side. And that's what happened. A violent death, right? A person who is promoting ahimsa, he gets a violent death. So that's the duality. So here Prabhupada writes to him, you should therefore take a note of warning from your insignificant friend like me that unless you retire timely from politics and engage yourself 100% in the preaching work of Bhagavad Gita, which is the real function of the Mahatmas, he's saying that he's known as Mahatma Gandhi, you shall have to meet with such inglorious death as Mussolini, Hitler's, Tojo's, Churchill's, and so on. So he was telling that to him. He's so bold. He's writing letter to Prabhupada. He said, 100% you preach Bhagavad Gita. So that's Prabhupada's preaching. That's in 1947. After 20 years, he went to USA. So that was his mood always, because he's Nitya Siddha. He never forgot Krishna. He was always trying to preach the message of Krishna. So many things to learn from Prabhupada. So further, Prabhupada, he tells that You should approach, he quotes that verse, Tad vidhi parinipate na pariprasnena sevaya. So he says, you should approach a guru. What you are trying is on the temporary platform. And he said, he appreciates him that you did austerity. He was a simple man, you know, he lived very simply. He was living in a bangi colony, all those, the lower class who are like cleaners, you know. He was living in with them in their colony. So he said, you are performing austerities and by that you have gained so much power. But these are all your inventions. You have made inventions on the relative platform. So same way we see people are making inventions. Everyone is doing some sort of, they are trying to achieve some sort of goal, and for that they are inventing ways and methods of austerity. And they think that's the topmost. But Prabhupada is saying, although you are doing all these things, but they are on relative platform. So unless you come to the absolute platform, there is no use of your endeavors. So that's why, as we discussed, Shraddha Shabde Vishwaskaya Srudrida Nishchaya, we should have faith that all this effort that we are putting in spiritual life, all this endeavor, it won't go waste. So that's the faith. So it requires endeavor actually. Daily chant 16 rounds, you know, hear Bhagavatam from people who you may not like, and you know, you do so services, and even if you are sick or something, you need to do so many things. So it's an endeavor. It takes an endeavor. But if we have faith, then we can go to next level. And if we keep doing it steadily, then we can go further. So in Bhagavad Gita, that same purport, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, Prabhupada writes, faith means firm conviction in something sublime. So this is not a blind faith. We are putting our faith on Shastra, which is timeless. And great personalities like Arjun mentions, Narada, Vyas, Asita, Deval, all these great personalities have confirmed the truths. As I was giving example the other day, that they have been tagged and tested and tagged. So these acharyas have tested these methods and they have tags that, okay, this is okay to chant Hare Krishna. Mahaprabhu himself, he came as acharya, although he's God himself, but he came as an acharya to teach us. So he tested this method of chanting Hare Krishna. He was counting his rounds. He was chant his daily rounds. And he tagged it that yes, this is perfect. So we see that tag that yes, Mahaprabhu says that yagyai sankirtanai prai yajanti hi sumedasa, that by doing performing this sankirtan, we will actually attain perfection. So that's the faith. Faith comes by seeing the examples, live examples. So what we discussed here is about inconceivable facts given in Bhagavatam, and by following these great devotees and sincerely following Krishna's instruction, we can achieve this faith on these inconceivable facts. So I would like to end there and see if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yes, so. Yeah, generally it's in spiritual world. I mean, this particularly is about, because it says four arms. So it's about the Vaikuntha residence. It's described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita when Gopakumara reaches Golok Vrindavan. There he couldn't understand, is it something very high, or it looked exactly like Vrindavan on this planet, right? So the residents, their bodily features exactly looked like residents of Vrindavan on the Bhoma Vrindavan. So first he couldn't understand, but then when he very sharply tried to observe, then he could see the beauty of Golok Vrindavan. So it's very subtle. It's the subtle most planet. So here particularly, in Vaikuntha Lok, it's like Lord Narayan is present as a king. So, and his all his associates are also like that. They have, you know, different crowns and jewels and so many ornaments. In Golok Vrindavan, there is natural beauty of a village. It's like a village. So they also have, you know, crowns and jewels and everything. But it's like more, you know, village-like atmosphere. But it's very beautiful as well. It is said there also that we actually cannot understand unless we go there. So the process is given. So we should have the same thing. We should have faith that there is something high in Golok Vrindavan. Does that answer that? Any other question or comment? Anyone else? I'll come back to you. Okay. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah. Sorry, devotee? Neglects, yes. So neglect in the sense we don't ban them totally. Atheists are most welcome if they behave to our temples, restaurants. They can have prasad. But we don't try to tell more glories and try to preach to them because they become more and more offensive. So it's described in 11th canto where these three levels are described, Kanishta, Madhyam and Uttam Adhikari. There it says Bhagavatottam. So there in that Madhyam Adhikari platform it's described. So this neglect is not like we are hating them or rejecting them completely. It's just that they are offensive at the moment. If you tell them something about Krishna, they will try to challenge you, you know, blaspheme Krishna, blaspheme devotees. So in order to prevent them to go further down by their offenses, if we neglect them, that's the best treatment for atheists and faithless. That is, actually we are showing them mercy by neglecting them so that they don't go further down. Then eventually by mercy of a devotee, if they, you know, eat prasad or, you know, somehow they can be elevated. But we just try to neglect them. But not like show them that we are neglecting them. We say hello, hi, everything. And take prasad. We be courteous with them, but not try to get into conversations if we understand that they will become offensive. We can just say, oh, don't worry about that. You take, how did you like this, like that. So that's why a preacher is very expert. With practice, a preacher becomes so expert, he knows how to engage everyone in service. Yeah. Okay, anything else? Any last question or comment? Okay, thank you very much. We are finishing a little early because there is holy festival. Some devotees want to leave early today. So breakfast should be ready now. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandar.